The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Not for nothing, but I was doing some math. This is our fifth show in 7 days.
Yeah.
Don't expect a lot today.
Yeah.
Do not expect a lot. Hi, it's Carmichael Dave. Jason Ross, Christopher Laud. Good morning, 6 a.m. in 30 seconds. Hey, happy birthday to my cousin Tantra.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow. Oh. I saw the notification and clicked on it. Happy birthday, Tantra.
46 tomorrow.
She is the eldest of all the cousins, so yeah, you're in the neighborhood there. Yeah, we'll throw her on celebrity birthdays. Dave's cousin Tantra on celebrity birthdays. One of my heroes graduated cum laude from Cal and has spent her entire life in the, I think, the Richmond or Oakland school district between the two, teaching kindergarten, second grade, and third grade. That's what she does.
And that's a respectable job. Yeah.
And she ain't just teaching, you know, the classes either. I mean, she bonds with these kids and makes an actual difference in life. We talk about sports, and we hope we make a difference in your life today. By the way, I'm sure you've worn that before, but it's a nice color.
Thank you. Matches my eyes.
What would that be? It's blue-ish, obviously, but, like, it's a shade. It's not baby blue. It's not aqua. It's not turquoise. I don't know what that... It's not... There's a word for it.
It's bleen. Blue-green.
Blue-green.
I thought it was more of a bluish-gray.
Blay?
Blay.
Grew. Somebody who's already... Look at the YouTube chat. Tell us what color Jason Ross is.
Steel? Steel blue?
Ooh, I like that one.
Steel blue, I like that. Isn't that a movie with Ben Stiller or something?
Ben Stiller, no. That'd be more like Arnold.
No, that's the... You're thinking of... where he's the male models.
Zoolander.
Yeah, that was one of his looks.
That's
blue
right.
Steel.
That's right. Blue Steel. Yes, that's why that was in my head. Thank you. So, you ever... Whether you're gambling... Or things are going well, and you don't want to say anything or acknowledge. It's like a no-hitter. Like, you don't want to acknowledge it because you're on a good streak. I'm going to do that right now, knowing that I'm making a horrible mistake. But really, this has been going on for years, and I've never really acknowledged it. And I feel like I need to out of gratitude. Grocery store sushi is underrated. It really is kind of like done with the show. I don't want to do fast food, although I guess that's technically fast food. You just go in, grab it. I don't know. Is it? You just go in, grab it?
I wouldn't say it is.
Okay.
And under the true traditional term.
And I won't, you know, I'm not trying to do a free plug here. But I will tell you this. I won't use store names. But I will say that where in the part of town I live, there is a well-known, people will be able to read through the lines here, there is a well-known cheap grocery store, and right across the street from it is a well-known kind of upper end-ish grocery store. I mean, we're not talking like Sprouts or Nugget upper end, but you know. And
Albertsons.
Weirdly enough, I miss Albertsons. Are there even any Albertsons anymore?
I think in Save Southern Mart? California.
Isn't it Save Mart?
Albertsons is Save Mart now? I didn't know that. I think the last Albertsons, that was a Safeway, right? On Alhambra? Right at the exit? Yeah. Because there used to be an Albertsons in Carmichael, I think on Marconi and Walnut by the round. I don't know where. Anyways.
Which I believe is a Save Mart.
I think you're right, actually. So... The funny thing is that the discount store, the one you go to generally to buy cheap groceries. It's, you know, everything, you know, like Triscuits are like a dollar cheaper there every time. Like, they also have sushi, but it's more expensive than the sushi at the upper end place. I can get a, you know, like six of them sashimis on the rice, whatever that is. It's just fish on rice. And then like six little pieces of like some dumb roll, like a California roll. Nothing complicated. I can get that for like $8.99 at this other place, right? So I roll, you know, there's occasions where I feel I'm hungry. I need something filling. I don't want to make anything, and I don't want fast food. And I roll in like I did yesterday, because I was at the dentist. I got a crown yesterday, which my guy is amazing. It's Kenny Thomas's guy. Props to Kenny. He turned me on to him. He's fantastic. But you're still in a dentist chair for 2 hours, and you leave, and blah, 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 you know, half your jaw's numb. So I also wanted the benefit of something that wasn't, you know, crunchy or hard. So I went and, you know, that's my go-to. I grab sushi. It's got a little bit of wasabi, a couple packets of soy sauce, free chopsticks. You don't have to pay for them. I come home, I pound the sushi. I'm full, you know. And I thought about it. I go, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And I feel like grocery store sushi, I'm not trying to say don't go to Makuni. I'm not trying to say don't go to the, I'm saying in a pinch, grocery store sushi is underrated.
So your resistance to bring this up was some sort of jinx that you're going to get a terrible batch next time?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That some, because I can tell you this right now. If at any point I get any form of sickness.
You're done with it?
Yes.
Until you're not.
Nah.
You've never gone back to a place that you had, or have you ever gone back to a place?
Well, I can tell you this. When I was a youngster, and I used to, I've never been a drinker, but I, you know, when you do the occasional whatever, there was a night where I got pretty hammered on Jägermeister, and that, I have not touched that since I was in my, since I was barely legal, let's put it that way, illegal to drink.
I'm guessing it wasn't that you don't want to go back to it because of it going down, but coming up.
That's correct. And boy, did it come up. And now anything near that, like Jägermeister, Goldschlager, peppermint schnapps, nope, they're all off the board. Even if I did drink, I would not touch any of those, which is weird because literally two of my closest, best, lifelong friends, they're family to me. One I've known since fourth grade, one I've known since junior high. I mean, they're as close to me as you could possibly be without being, you know, blood. They are flaming alcoholics. And what I mean by that is I'm not, like, I don't know how they're able. I've never known how they're able to function. They both have really good jobs. Mm-hmm. I won't say where they work, but they actually both work for the same employer, which a lot of people do here in Sacramento.
They make the sushi?
They do not.
Oh.
And I don't know how the hell they function because these guys can go out on a Tuesday and just get schlackered. Never get hungover. Never.
I mean, I wouldn't consider us best friends, but that's kind of nice of you.
I think, you know, like there's some people that when they eat cilantro, it tastes like dish soap.
Yeah.
I also think there's got to be some people that just, they don't have that gene to get hungover. I remember one time I was talking garbage to them. They had this thing called the Century Club where you try to drink 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes, right? It's apparently a lot. And both of them got, they both got to 150 and quit. And that was on a Tuesday. And they were back to work on a Wednesday. I could have 3 shots of beer and there's a 50-50 shot that I, no pun intended, that I'm just out of it the next day.
Right.
It's really strange. Why was I there? Why did I talk about their blatant alcoholism. My point is this. You know, we were talking about not going back to the stuff. No, what I'm saying is that for the rest of my career on the radio, if I ever am out because of if I ever get food poisoning, if I ever have the flu, Everything here and everything on Twitter is going to be, oh, he must have had that grocery store sushi. And I am kind of scared to death in a way. Like, you hear these horror stories about, like, this dude ate a thing of sushi and there was some parasite worm thing that, right, like, went into his brain or whatever. Like, I'm aware of that stuff. But I got to feel like these places have similar, you know, they got to use sashimi-grade fish. And I see there's a really nice guy behind the counter
Oh, if he's nice, then it's
he
okay.
is nice. He's very nice.
Yeah.
And he always says hello and, you know, here's what we have, and do you have any requests? And I don't. I just take whatever's there. You know, it's usually
no
something.
No food poisoning.
No food poisoning is my big request. And he's making it right in front of me, so of course it's fresh. I don't know. I just, like, when I was also in, you know, teens, early 20s, I had no problem rolling into AMPM for the two burgers for 99 cents. Like, that's a fine meal. Mm. And, I do that often, maybe occasionally the hot dog, maybe the ice cream.
Gross. How about the hot dogs in that roll, the taquito in there?
Yeah, the taquitos. Oh, what I never did the burritos.
Oh.
I have
standards.
Yeah, I have standards, dude. Yeah. That to me screamed just, you know, paint the fence. but now I would not, I look at the stuff, I go into an AMPM or a Chevron or something, and I look at, like, the little rolly wheel with all the stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I just go, God, I feel like if I had any of that, I'd be sitting down quite a bit over the next couple of days. But, and you know this, if you go to, like, Louisiana, for example, their gas station food is a whole different ballgame. Like, it is epic. And I would have never tried it if a local friend hadn't been like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This isn't California gas station food. They take pride in this. There are some really good places you can eat.
And fried chicken, burgers, burritos,
jambalaya.
Anything.
Yeah. I mean, they've got all, you know,
enchiladas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just sitting there. And I've seen a little bit of that. I don't know the name of it, but there's like a, there is like a chicken fingers outfit that is now starting to merge into a lot of these gas stations here, where there are some gas stations that are like, oh, maybe we should try some upper end, you know, to go food out of here. And I imagine that's a good deal for them. But just shout out to grocery store sushi.
Yeah.
You know,
shout out.
It's relatively cheap, easy. I imagine semi healthy.
Co-op has a pretty good deal.
Who?
Co-op. Yeah.
What is that?
The Sacramento Co-op.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know nothing about this.
Oh, it's off the Alhambra.
Oh, is it just like a grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they call it a co-op?
Because it's a co-op.
But what's a co-op? No, I know. But what is that?
Like, customers like have, like, you can get part ownership into the grocery store.
Really?
Like, the idea is you donate money to, like, make it a better place.
And what do you get for donating that money?
You get, like, discounts at the store.
So is it like a... Is it like a membership? Is it like
a... No. Like, I don't have a membership, but I can go in and get food, but you don't get that discount type. It's one of those things that's better if you're going there all the time.
So I understand it's not the same, but is it basically like a different Sam's Club where you buy a card and you get the discounts and you can shop there? And you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it sounds the same, but I'm probably missing something.
Kind of. It's like the idea is it's more of a public spot.
Do they have to order 50 hot dogs with a soda?
They do not.
Yeah, because let me tell you, did that last weekend. That's like my wife's and my favorite date. Yeah. We do it once a month.
Only once a month?
Yeah, dude, because
we have standards.
Look, I'm going to get really personal here, and then we got to go to break. I'm going to use specifics. We hadn't been to Sam's Club in a while. Now, at Sam's Club, I love it because I can take my little app out and I can scan all the items. So then you don't have to wait in line. You can just check right out, right? They just scan like four items in your cart and let you go. So you scan them with the barcodes with your phone. Super fun to me. So like I'll put the stuff in the cart. My wife will hold it up and I scan it. We have this rhythm, right? It's super fun. Beep, beep, beep. You know, at Sam's Club, you know, we stocked up on some things. I'm not going to lie. Like this is a bigger trip. But the idea when you go to a Sam's Club or a Costco is you're saving money, right?
Ideally.
On the thing, it shows you how much you've spent. We're going down the aisle. I knew we'd bought a lot of stuff. I knew we had, but not a lot. And we didn't have any big purchases. Like, we're talking like giant thing of toilet paper, right. Paper towel, that type of thing. We're on the way out. $491.
Oh, man, I'm out of cash.
I almost was like, what are we putting back? This is ridiculous. Yeah. And my wife says, no, long term, we're going to save money.
So let's go get a hot dog and a
I
mean, if you're thinking about this is for the entire month, $100 a week, that's not bad.
Honestly, and some of the stuff like, but also it's like, we now have 16 cans of black olives. I know we'll use them.
But all 16?
At some point.
They don't go bad.
They don't go bad. And they're the Lindsay olives, not the generic ones. They're all pretty.
Oh, the Lindsay olives?
Lindsay olives are the best. I mean, not the best, but, you know, of the readily available black olives on the market and in grocery store, Lindsay's are the best. If you try to get the discount ones, look at them. They're all pruny. Mm. So if you want to eat them as a little snack, you're eating pruny olives. I don't want pruny olives.
Can't even stick them on your finger.
You can't.
Do you do that?
My fingers are too fat now. They're just too big.
Toes?
Yes, and nostril, or end of the nose. Also, little known fact, if you are a drinker, the juice, the water, the whatever it is.
The olive juice,
really good in, you save it in martinis. Little black olive juice.
All the martinis you have.
Tons of martinis, bro. I am a martini connoisseur. So there's that. So really the point is shout out to grocery stores.
That's what it was.
I would honestly rather talk about that all day. But we have a job to do. And we got to talk about last night as the Kings got pantsed. Not the Wolody, but we'll discuss.
Or was it?
Maybe a certain category of Wolody. NFL proved a bunch of stuff yesterday, and we didn't have time to get into that. We shall. Katie will join us at 9 a.m. and make a bunch of excuses for why they lost last night, and we'll argue about that. I mean, hey, am I lying? We'll do that at 9 a.m. And much more. It's David, Jason, it's Chris. It is Sacktown Sports. We're right back.
Let's do it.
Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Pass on top to Washington. Give it up to Kyrie. Stops, launches another three, scores another three. Henry, the weapons that they have. I mean, we knew when Luka had the big first half, we hadn't heard much from Kyrie. Well, that story has changed.
Yeah, it has. Well, you know, Jason, I have a saying.
What's that?
Doesn't matter if you lose by one on NBC Sports California or you lose by 30,000 on TNT or more accurately True TV, It still shows up the same in the loss column.
That is the saying I've heard you say a lot.
A lot. I'm not the only one that says that, obviously. Yeah. Especially
the True TV part.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. That was a TNT game.
Well, it was.
But was it on TNT?
Yeah. It's because the Lakers, Bucks,
took
forever.
It started on True TV. Oh, yeah. I never made the switch.
Oh. Yeah, that one went double overtime.
Thanks a lot, Lakers.
They have a thing, like they tell you on the national TV game, like, oh, we're going to have a five-minute slide because the previous game is taking too long. Well, the Lakers were down enough with like 3 minutes to go. They're like, yeah, no slide.
No slide.
We're going to get this game started on time.
It's going to be fine.
And then the Lakers came back, forced overtime, forced a double overtime. And yeah, so some fans had to wait a while unless you switched over to True TV.
That was an omen.
Yeah.
Well, it looked good for most of the first quarter.
I actually, even at halftime, I was, when it was only five, and looking at stats, you went, wow, Dallas made so many threes. Mm. Luka was incredible.
Yeah.
Kings have been okay. How is this only a five-point game? And then the second half happened, and it,
Woof.
Yeah, it got really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that Keon Ellis sure is a stopper.
Wow. Dave's turning on the guys.
Already turned.
Well, I'd be curious to hear your list of Kings that played well.
Okay. I will give it to you. Well, offensively, Keon Ellis. He was 4 of 5. I know. Nobody played well. It was exactly. Dumb. It was dumb. It was lame. But you know what? We'll talk about it. I know I'm usually poopy pants after this stuff, and I just made fun of Katie.
Must have been that sushi.
That must have been the sushi. And I know I just made fun of Katie saying she'll make excuses, but I do think there's something here to that. Well, Friday will tell us, but all leading up to this game, there were more than a few people around the team that were, you know, you don't want to already acknowledge a loss, but it was more of a like, man, fifth game in 7 nights, like it's gonna be a challenge. Hopefully these guys can. That is a tough thing, man.
It is,
and I know that the Mavericks were on the second night of a back to back.
But understand. 5-7 is the, sometimes it hasn't happened for a couple of seasons.
Right, that's not something that you're.
They've kept that away from teams.
That's correct, and it wasn't just like it's one thing if it's 5-7 and you know a bunch of them are at home, right. And then you went to Phoenix and LA and Portland or something. No, this was 5-7, including a full East Coast road trip, Toronto customs. A couple of back-to-backs, a late arrival in D.C. Like, they need these days off. Now, that might all be garbage.
Right.
And then they come out on Friday and just get pantsed again. Then we got something to really worry about. But I think it fits in the sense of as the game wore on, the Kings seemed to just get worse.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was – effort per se, but it's like sometimes you can see the finish line and you're like, yeah, we just don't have it, and you let go of the rope, whatever the phrasing is. Coach, I mean, Dallas had it for one. Like, Dallas would have beat a lot of teams yesterday. Dallas shot the lights out. They deserve credit for that. But the other thing I wonder, and we'll speculate on it as we get closer to Friday, I think the Kings match up well with Dallas, at least the previous version of Dallas. So I've only seen the new version once. And the new version absolutely punked the Kings. So
they really punked the Kings.
So we'll see if that's a thing or if that was just a one-game outlier.
We'll see if, in fact, maybe the Kings now can't ever beat this team.
Ever.
Ever. This new Dallas team has the Kings number. Well, you know what? They're 1-0 against them.
They are.
They are undefeated. Kings fall back into the play-in. We'll update you on all of that. And again, Katie will join us at 9. Cut number 2, please.
Cut number 2.
The owners have voted and spoken to approve the new hybrid kickoff rule. That's the latest from our NFL insider, Jonathan Jones, today. Reports that 3 teams actually voted against it. The Raiders, Packers, and the Niners. The new kickoff resembles the XFL format. If you've seen that before, the kick will still come from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players will line up on the opponent's 40. The receiving team will have at least 7 in the nearby setup zone with a max of 2 returners and a landing zone between the goal line and the 20.
What?
Totally clear.
Well, that makes sense. I'm excited for football. I wish it was already here. I understand it just ended, but I like the footballs, right? I'm not excited for the start of the season in this aspect. I think the kickoff thing, like, they'll figure it out, but it's just going to be a cluster for a minute. And then one of the other rules adopted is the hip drop tackle is mm-hmm. now illegal. And, you know, just basically, I don't know, it grab the guy's waist, you know, drop down, hips, pull him down, whatever. Like, I think this might be underrated. I think I understand that it's making news and we're talking about it, so we're noticing it. But I actually think this actually, like, let's bookmark that. And
the waist tackle you're talking about? Or
yeah, they've outlawed what they call hip drop.
Yeah, I don't know if you meant which one you meant. Or the kickoff.
Yeah. No. The hip drop. The kickoff they'll figure out. And by the way, that might be weird and whatever, but the hip drop tackle, okay, first off, I like that it addresses one thing because we needed more scoring in the NFL. You know, not too much defense, you know, is what everybody's been saying. But the amount, like, what I don't like about this is that the amount of penalties that are going to be called. Like, you're going to have a dude get tackled, super awesome tackle, like, oh, okay, let's move on, second. Or, like, behind the line of scrimmage, right? Oh, it's a loss of 3. Oh, personal foul, hip drop tackle, 15-yard penalty, first down. Like, trust me when I say, and I understand that we've had situations like this before and the players have adjusted, but I think anybody who's played football, anybody who's watched football understands just how, like, that's not like leading with your helmet, which right. is also difficult. This is like a basic tackling mechanism, and there's a lot of room for it. Like, well, did he drop his hips? Did his feet go out from under him? Did he lose his balance? Like, what, which caused him to put all his weight, like, I understand they're looking out for injuries, and I'm not boomer guy that's like, well, put on some panties, you're gonna be. No, like, I get it, and I'm all for, like, less brain fluid leaking on the field.
Sure.
Also, it's football. Also, it's football, where it's like, I'm all for doing anything to prevent brain injuries and concussions, but I got to be honest. Below the waist, kind of fair game. Like, I don't want to see anybody torque a knee, but I'm a lot more sympathetic to 60-year-old ex-NFL player limping around because he tore his knees a few times than CTE and all the stuff that comes with it. Like, at some point, we have to acknowledge that the NFL is a dangerous game, and these guys sign up to play, and it is a thing. And if you're just going to take every single thing from the defense and the old, you know, thing people bitch about, which is now when I tackle the quarterback, I have to pick him up and I have to, like, give him a kiss, and then I have to put a pillow underneath him and rub his head. Like, bro, what are we doing here? It's football. So we'll talk about that. I don't like
it. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Do you?
People always want more football.
Yes.
They are going to get much more football because these games are going to be so long.
Seriously, every game is going to be 55-54. You know what, though? But there's a lot of scoring.
Yeah.
We will take a break. Oh, one real quick aside. I've been meaning to tell you this for a while now, Chris. because my little gig now, because I have a number of English soccer fans now following me on Twitter, one of my favorite bits that's not a bit is happening is their absolute disdain and questioning of why Americans are so into American football. And what I mean by that is I'll get, like, diehard soccer guy who's like, I don't understand this fascination with American football. It's incredibly boring. And I'm in this spot where, like, I can't really say what I want to say, which is like, bro, American football is incredibly boring. You guys score, like, maybe twice a game, and if somebody gets hit, like, they roll around for 30 yards until they get the magic spray. Like, let's calm down on – but that's a real thing, man. They don't get it.
Because, like, how many sports, like, stop over there? Like, rugby doesn't stop. Soccer doesn't stop.
No.
Football is all stopping.
Yeah, they don't – they do not – they don't understand that concept at all. And they're like, it's just rugby with more pads. I mean, okay. I don't understand rugby.
I don't either.
It's like everyone just bumblebees around the ball until somebody farts it out, and then you run down the thing until somebody scores and you kick it.
Those are the rules.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Cricket, though. That I really don't understand. I'm not even going to try with cricket. We'll take a break. Just some quick sports potpourri when we come back. we'll do that at 6:43, including some news on Coach Calipari, excuse me. And when we get back, though, the Kings lose. Unfortunately, we have the audio. Plug your ears. We'll have all that for you next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
Sabonis, he's at the right elbow. Faces up, digs inside. Kicks it out to Keon for three, and he nails the triple. A 5-0 start for Sacramento. Keon Ellis from downtown. Keon Ellis on the left wing in two-point range. Going to try a two-point floater. It bounces and settles in. 7 first-quarter points for Keon Ellis. Here's a secondary screen set. Luka works to the right wing. Going to launch his first three-point shot of the night, and it barely ripples the twine. 7 points now for Doncic. He's off to a strong start, making 3 of 4, and that's his first from downtown. 15-14, Kings lead by 1. Fox in the vicinity of the right elbow, circles back out to three-point range, gets a reset from Harrison Barnes. Now he drives it, hesitates, puts up the floater for 2, and scores it. Last 7 points the Kings have been scored by De'Aaron Fox. Hits 48-45. Gafford with a drive and a kick. Out on the left wing, Kyrie Irving. Launches for 3, scores another triple. Biggest lead of the ball game for the Mavericks. Pass on top to Washington, give it up to Kyrie. Stops, launches another 3, scores another 3. Henry, the weapons that they have. I mean, we knew when Luka had the big first half, we hadn't heard much from Kyrie. Well, that story has changed. The final margin is going to be 36 points, which will equal the worst loss by Sacramento this season. That was a hen against the New Orleans Pelicans. And there is the horn, and this one is mercifully over. The Kings lay a giant egg in front of a national television audience tonight at Golden 1 Center. They get spanked, 132-96. So Dallas has now got their first win in three games this season against Sacramento, and they'll attempt to even the series on Friday night.
Yeah, that's about as quick as I can get through those highlights, dude.
I've got two good things that happened last night, believe it or not.
Hold up.
Two. Hold up. Oh, you have your pens?
Yeah, I got my pens.
I've got one, too, so we'll see if it adds up with you, Jason.
Okay.
I really only had one, but I just came up with a second one.
All right, number one.
Number one, and the least important of the two, mm-hmm. It's over.
It's
like that game's gone. That game's gone. It's done.
I'm going to underline over so for emphasis.
Number two?
Yup.
They played We Want the Funk.
Did they really?
Twice. Now, I felt like they were kind of down a lot, and they played it. And it was kinda,
it's a tough one.
Kind of played it a little low.
Number three?
Yeah.
Free cookies last night.
Oh, yeah. Crumble cookies. Yeah.
Okay.
But they played We Want the Monk, or We Got the Funk, whatever. Gotta have that funk. Ow. And then you just change it into Monk.
Okay.
And they did off night. Like, we still had the fun stuff. Sure-ish.
So, full disclosure. Like, I love the We Want the Funk idea, and mm-hmm. I hope that sticks. Also, kind of a funny bit if it crashes and burns. And we got the Sabonis chant going, and then they're like, oh, yeah, it's not that easy, is it, guys? Can't just bring it up.
You get one.
You get one. Right? You get one.
One is a station.
You get one chance. Not everybody.
Yeah.
No, it's
I mean, he was not that great. The team was not that great. But they did play it. I went, hey, there it is. I even texted the guys. I go, there it is.
No chance these guys are listening at 6:38. I think Crosstalk's going to be fun because I think the bit has to be. I will happily lead the way. And Jason, you play good cop because you're so good at it. Like, I'm just going to be like, guys, they played it last night and they lost by it. It was like tied for their biggest loss of the year. So I had a conversation with the Kings people that, like, I don't think they're going to do that anymore. Just out of superstition. Like, every single time they've played We Want the Funk, they've had their biggest loss of the year.
Factually true.
We follow superstitions here in Sacramento. So last night's loss is because of Allen Stiles and Chris Watkins. I don't see why that's not logical. I'm actually very glad they did that.
Yeah.
Is that that's not a sing-along, though, is it? That's just a feel-good.
It can be.
Can be?
Like, I mean, if it'd have to be a little bit like Sabonis, sometimes they fire it and then, you know, there's plays going.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if it's he does the play and they go to timeout, it just, yeah. You can keep going. So if Monk had one of those highlights, timeout Dallas, and that song's playing.
And then everyone's like, I'd like to see the Monk. Gotta have that Monk.
I think that would need a little bit more help.
That would.
It might.
That would, too. Definitely need. Basically, we're trying to turn Gold One into a karaoke bar.
Yes. Dance party.
We gotta have the line. We gotta have the bounce.
Now we have to come up with a song and then get a player to fit that song.
Oh my, to acquire. Oh my God, that would be amazing. I'm sorry. I'm just
you were thinking.
I'm 100% going through the rosters. Yeah. I'm for that though. Let's talk to Monty.
Yeah,
Monty would
he need a song?
Monty McNair.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell would his song be? I don't know. Give me some time.
I know.
Yeah. It sucked. But I will say this, bright side or not, they had kind of the great value halftime show going.
Okay.
Not the normal, you know, Ernie and Kenny and all that, but it was, I was on True TV. So I'm watching Shaq and was it Candace? It was Shaq. Was Jared Greenberg? I don't know who the hell
or
it was.
Or Adam Lefkoe, maybe.
Yeah, him too. they had and at halftime, Shaq was breaking down DeMontis Sabonis tape. If you didn't hear it, this is what it sounded like.
Luka, since the All-Star break, is first in the NBA in points, first in the NBA assists, first in the NBA in triple-doubles. There's no questioning that this man is bad. The other guy that's going for a triple-double, who's been a triple-double machine this year, Sabonis. Would you like to gather us through his highlights?
Yes. I like to call him Mr. Everything because the guy can do everything. Right here, just a consummate team player. Right here, ball swing.
Hold on a second. What didn't Shaq? Was it Shaq that didn't Shaq do the lasagna thing? Was that Shaq a couple years? Wasn't that a thing? Lithuanian lasagna?
Yes.
Wasn't that Shaq?
I can't remember.
Okay. Chris, you don't remember either? Lithuanian lasagna? Somebody out there help me out. I swear that was Shaq. And now he's moved on to Mr. Everything.
Ron, he demands the ball, gets it. I would have liked him to take one, two dribbles and take this jump hook right here, but nope. Guy open for a better shot, makes a great pass. And right here, listen, come off, set a nice screen. I talked to a lot of guys. They say he's probably one of the strongest guys in the league. Right there, you set a nice screen. You get that little pocket pass for the jumper. Most definitely not. And right here, he goes up strong, 9, 8, and 6. He definitely will get the triple-double tonight. But, he's a guy that does everything. And
he does.
He's definitely in the big man alliance.
Okay.
Wow. Is that a new entry?
Who's all in there?
Huh?
Who is in the big man alliance?
I will let you know.
Embiid, Jokic, Sabonis.
Yep.
Those three.
We'll let more.
So far.
Okay.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Hey, I'm not the clothing guy or nothing, but that should be a shirt.
Big Man Alliance. Yeah.
The BMA.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. He's in the Big Man Alliance, Jason.
It's got to mean something.
Let me see here. I know we got a break.
That's great.
I think I got this here. He's in the Big Man Alliance.
It's got to mean something.
Let me see here. I know. Sorry, Chris. I thought that was you. I didn't unmute my stuff, or I did. Here we go. Nope. Because I muted it. Hold on. Hey, guys. I'm doing great at this, even though we have to break. Unmute and play the thing that doesn't make sense now.
At halftime, Shaq talked about barbecue chicken. He said, for you, it's Lithuanian lasagna.
Lasagna. Yeah, I guess it is Lithuanian lasagna. We got to make it a thing now.
Narrator. It did not become a thing. And apparently he's...
Checks notes. Yeah. One and done.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
And now apparently he's Mr. Everything.
Huh.
He's Mr. Air. He's Lithuanian lasagna.
And a part of the Big Man Alliance.
It's Mr. Everything, the Lithuanian lasagna, Domantas Sabonis. There you go. He's got like a whole boxing intro now. When we come back, here's your sports potpourri. We'll go around different things, including some news on Coach Cal in Kentucky. Tyronn Lue lays it out for his Clippers. And as I wrote here earlier, apparently, Jimmett. To head up the USA 3x3 team. Who's Jimmett? We'll tell you about that next.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
On Sacktown Sports.
Before we get started... I want to step on the third rail here and have a quick heart to heart with a couple of Kings fans. Now we are all family, and we all want the same thing. So let's just keep that in mind here, based on what I'm about to say. But I gotta say this, man. Losses suck. Period. One of the extra things that sucks about a loss is often. In the post-game conversation, wherever you may converse, there's a lot of backbiting on everyone, this and that. And, you say something like, 5-7, that's tough, excuses, you're soft. It's like the team, people need an outlet, and I understand that, it's not our first rodeo here. People need an outlet. They need to yell at somebody. They need to be angry. I had to call out a couple people last night on social media because here's my thing. If you're watching every game and you're commenting and whatever, that's awesome. Even if you're not watching every game, whatever. Not everybody has to be a super fan. But what bothers me is I've started to recognize, and I have for a while, and I just kind of called it out last night, like there is a group of fans, a very small group, but enough to bother me. They only show up after losses. And the as a guy who is known for being incredibly emotional and over the top, like they're emotional and over the top if there ever was anything. And so what I did is, like last night, for example, there was one guy who is after every loss, like, Monty's got to go, Mike Brown's got to go, this is just terrible, we're nothing but a play-in team, we're one and done, this is the worst, my day is ruined, that type of thing. Like, I'm not exaggerating. And then I went back in his tweets, not a single Kings tweet after Philly. Not a single Kings tweet after Orlando. Want to take a guess as the last time he tweeted about the Kings?
Oh, the last loss?
That'd be the Wizards.
Yeah. And then probably the two games prior to that.
I didn't go back that far, but you're probably right. And I saw that with another dude, and it was the same thing. Now, over the course of five tweets after the Philly game, I noticed he was flirting with online OnlyFans models, but not a single tweet about the Kings, who won. But then last night, sucks, it's terrible, Vex, stupid, whatever. And I see a little bit of that on our text line and in our chat sometimes, too. Look, you want a fan however you want a fan. I've always said, don't be a gatekeeper, right? And I guess I'm kind of gatekeeping right now. I'm not going to say that's not a real fan. I'm not going to say it because that's garbage. Of course you're a real fan. But I just, as a guy who more often than not leans on the pessimistic side, I get it. But, like, dude, if you're only popping up after losses to scream bloody murder, and then after the wins, it's like, well, okay, I feel like I don't need to say anything. Well, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there's some nuance or tricks to this. So when we do this every day, and you also kind of do it for the season-long themes as well as the everyday. Yesterday, in the last couple of days, we've talked a lot about improved defense.
Yes.
I saw a lot of that, or saw some like, oh, I thought the defense was better. Well, it wasn't last night. But over the 14 games, it has been.
Yes.
So last night's part of that. Right. That was the worst version of it.
Right.
But when you scan out, it has been better. So if we're just looking at last night, that's one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Yeah.
We're not just looking at last night.
No, we're not.
But last night was terrible.
It would be the inverse of if we had, like, for example, crappy defense all year, and then one game we hold a team under 100 points. It's like, oh, I thought our defense was bad.
Yeah.
We're like sitting at 28th, but we held one team. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
Or lately, honestly, for 15 games, the free throws has been bad.
Yes.
There might be a game here coming up where they lost. Free throws have killed them all year. Well, a portion, I'm not denying it, this specific game.
Right.
So, yeah, you get a lot of, jumping to conclusions on a lot of things.
What was the other thing, too, to your point? Oh, God, it was, when I mentioned the 5 out of 7, and somebody responded, yeah, but you know what? That doesn't explain Charlotte or Detroit at home or that, and it's just excuses. I'm like,
those aren't the
those
same.
Those weren't 5 and 7. Right. Of course that doesn't excuse all that other. I'm talking about tonight. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying it could be a contributing factor.
Can it be a reason?
And the whole point is, I'm not saying last night's loss is okay, guys. It's okay that they got blown out. They played 5 and 7. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we'll find out on Friday more than anything if that was really a factor. However, fatigue can set in certain situations, and if you're looking for reasons as to why they got destroyed by Dallas, a team they're 2-0 against so far this year, granted, different players, this could, when you're trying to analyze, this could be part of the analysis. It's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're waving a white flag and saying excuses and we love you guys no matter what. It means, okay, let's break down things that could be controlled. Oh, that's one.
Yeah, it will not be a reference point Friday.
No, it will 100. They come out and they lose Friday. Okay, well, Dallas is the better team.
Yeah, maybe this version of Dallas is better than the Kings.
Yeah, maybe. And you just blew a huge chance.
Yep.
We'll take a break. Sorry, it's the Coach Cal stuff. I got all this. We'll get to that in a bit. Plus, the NFL rule changes coming up next. We're right back in your home of the Kings, Southtown Sports.